You can open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see, where should we start? Let's say verse 17. I think I'd be in rebellion if I did anything else right now. Ephesians 1, 17. We're going to look at a specific aspect tonight of possessing the land. And you know, last week we put the title on it, Ephesians is Offensive. And I figure curiosity alone might get some people to listen to that one, you know. But we don't mean that it hurts your feelings or anything that's offensive that way. We just mean that really we're supposed to be on the warfare. You know, it's the parallel book to the book of Joshua. Joshua wasn't about hiding from the enemy. The book of Joshua is about overcoming. It's about the church going out and taking the land for the kingdom of God. And hi. Doing good. I still remember, again, what Dave said that time. It just slayed me, if that's a word. Killed me dead. And it was just a word in passing. He wasn't even really part of the message, you know. He was just teaching along. And he stepped down. He was about on the second step coming down off the platform. And he said, now you do know that before Jesus can conquer your city, he first has to conquer you.
That's right.
I don't remember anything else the man said. I mean, I was dead, killed right there, you know. And see, it's a two-part thing. I mean, I'm rereading a book again by Smith Wigglesworth this week, and some of the understanding that he had. And I like to study men like that because they walked where we're trying to walk, you know.
That's right.
He walked there, and so he said, the Holy Spirit, the reason for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is so Jesus can eat all of Smith Wigglesworth up. So that Jesus has complete control of my body. See, understanding's like that. Well, he first has to conquer us. It's another way of saying it, isn't it? He first has to conquer us. So part of what we're looking at now, when the eyes of... Okay, our verse, Ephesians 1:17. We better read the verse. Paul's praying here. He says, in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And here we are again, the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And this is written to born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking people. They're already enlightened to the point that they know Jesus is Lord. They already know the message of salvation. They already know the message of the baptism and the Holy Ghost. He says, the eyes of your understanding still need to be enlightened. Well, again, I got to quote our pastor. He says, Gary, we can't stop meditating the Word. We can't stop praying the mysteries because we still have a lot of things yet to understand. And he said, that has to be the case. Otherwise, we'd already be in the revival because God's not holding it back from us. He's given us all we can believe Him for. See, well, that's another way of saying the eyes of our understanding still have to be enlightened. We've got to see some things that we're not seeing right now so we can possess some land that we're not possessing right now. Well, the aspect of that tonight I want to look at, I just couldn't get away from this this afternoon, and it's that our famous passage over in Ephesians 6. So turn over there for a moment. You could be putting a marker in Numbers 13. Most of you probably know what's there. Numbers 13. Because the end result, as the Apostle Paul is concluding this letter to the Ephesians after all of this teaching, see, ultimately it's about winning the war. So he says here in conclusion, starting in verse 10 of chapter 6, finally, or in conclusion, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We read that so fast, and we just think we understand what that means, that really it escapes us. And then so we go out trying to battle and trying to win. Now let's talk about conquering you first before we go conquering cancer. Okay. Let's talk about conquering you first. Now, we can conquer cancer. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I'm just saying, he's got to conquer us first. Now, when it says, be strong in the Lord. Okay, I've got that. I'll be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. So He starts dealing with you about any long-standing ites that are in your land. For y'all know I had smokeites in my land for years. I had smokeites, okay? And, you know, some people have other kind of ites. There's gossipites. There's kleptoites. There's eatites. All kind. There's fearites. There's worryites. There's all kinds of ites. There's lyingites. Lyites. There you go. Stealites. No, I don't steal. I just cheat on my taxes. You know. I don't steal. Or what? Or whatever it is. Everybody's got something. There's ites in the land, okay? There's ites in the land of some kind. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And you say, yes, hallelujah. And we get Richard up to sing a song. And all. Boy, can he motivate you or what? I get all excited, man. I'm ready to go conquer the world after the offering prayer. You know, I mean, he gets me so stirred up and I'm ready to go, man. But see, then when you step out against your personal giant, the ite that's conquered you for so long, suddenly, boy, it sure seems like you're standing there in your own strength. And you go, that enemy that's been defeating you for the past 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, however long. And now he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And you're standing there ready. Let's take my smoking thing again. See, I'm always nice. Aren't you glad I'm nice to you? I'm not picking on your things. You know, I'm picking on my thing. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm strong. Gary, are you strong in the Lord and the power of His might? Absolutely. Good. Lay down them cigarettes. First 30 minutes, I was really strong. Not a problem. Now, you got to understand, I'm a three-pack smoker for 42 years, okay? You talk about ites in the land, I don't even know what it is to live without those things at that time, okay? And first 30 minutes, I'm bringing you down, buddy. You're going down, you know. Yeah, about an hour into that deal, I'm going, my starting to negotiate, you know. 4 hours into this deal, I've got the truce flag, you know, waving high and driving to the Quick Trip to buy another pack, okay? What happened there? Well, somehow I slipped out of the power of His might and trying to function in the power of my might. See, and that's not what it says. See, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I know you've all heard this message. That's message and passage. Message. You've heard this next part many times, but maybe not quite in this context. What does it really mean to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? The best illustration is back in Numbers 13. So turn back there for a minute. This is the spies after they've come back from spying out the land. And God intended for them to cross right there. I mean, you know, this was before the 40 years in the desert. They could have crossed. He says, go on over. You're going to do it. I've given you the land. Cross on over. Send these spies over and spy out the land. We're fixing to go conquer. Well, you know what happened, the report that they gave. And then they spent 40 years. That whole generation had to die off. And a new generation had to come up before they ever got to go over there again. But this is the opposite of being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, see? So they went across to spy out the land. Let's pick it up here, Numbers 13, starting in verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now remember, they brought back a cluster of grapes so big it took two men to carry. Boy, that had to look good, didn't it? And they told him and said, we come into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, here we go. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak are the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now that's the voice of one who is strong in the Lord. We'll come back to that in a minute. But the men that went up with him said, here it is, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than who? Stronger than we. They're not looking at this in the strength of the Lord. They're looking at it in their own strength. And that's what I kept doing. I kept failing. I kept trying it in my own strength. And I kept failing. Let's finish this passage and then we'll talk about it. So they brought up an evil report. In the margin, if you write in your Bible, you ought to write factual. They brought a factual report. There's not a thing in their report except the conclusion. That's wrong. Everything they said was factual. It's like going to a doctor. You have pneumonia, cancer, and diabetes, and flat feet all at the same time. And all of it be factual, what I'm saying. But then the conclusion is, you got to die. That's wrong. See, that's wrong. They brought up a factual report of the land. The Amalekites, the Amalekites, the sons of Anak, everything they said is true. The conclusion, though, was wrong. Because they're looking at it, the possibility of overcoming in their own strength, when really, why would they have any possibility of possessing that land anyway? Because of the word of the Lord their God. He's the one that said, I have given you the land. I will send my angel. I will send him like the hornet before you. He'll drive out all these Canaanites and Hittites, and you shall surely possess the land. Be not afraid. On and on, he goes on and on telling them. And Caleb and Joshua, they're the two that's going, well, hey, if the Lord be for us, let's go up at once and possess it. Let's go up at once and possess it. In other words, they're looking at these enemies, not in their own strength. They're comparing them against God. They're going, this is no contest whatsoever. Let us go up at once and possess this land. There's no possibility we won't win. But the majority of the people, they believed what they saw. They believed the evidence of their, let's say it this way, they believed the facts. You got to be careful about facts. Now, you can't ignore facts. Some people think when we teach along this line, they're saying, well, just ignore it. Cancer will kill you. You can't ignore the facts. He's not saying ignore the facts. He's saying overcome the facts with truth. See? You got to overcome the facts with truth. This is a factual report. But look what God calls it. He doesn't call it factual, does he? He said it's an evil report. Not because they lied. It's because they came to the wrong conclusion. Now let's jump ahead 40 years. You know what happened here? He says, all right. He says, Ed, none of you, except these two, Joshua and Caleb, none of the rest of you, your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. And that begins the 40-year journey. That whole generation had to die off, and a new generation had to come up. What that's a type and shadow of, you all, is transformation, mortification, and edification. The old man and his way of thinking, the old we be not able guy, the old I'm judging by the facts guy, that guy, he's got to die. He's got to die off. And the new man created in Christ Jesus, the one that says, the golden man on the inside, the one that can, all things are possible to him that believes, that guy's got to grow up to maturity. And see, once that happens, now you can go possess the land. You got that? Well, let's fast forward over a little bit to Joshua. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Look at the Old Testament here. Because we've got to get this mindset for where we're going. Jesus plans on fully conquering you. I like, again, the way Smith says it. The Holy Spirit, he says the reason for the baptism in the Holy Ghost is so Jesus can eat all of Smith Wigglesworth up. Just eat me up, Lord, where there's nothing of Smith left. You can have full possession of me. It sounds like Paul. It's I, but not I. But it's Christ in me, doesn't it? See? Well, he's got to conquer us so he can go conquer Tulsa. He's got to conquer us so he can go conquer this world. He needs to eat us up. That old we be not able guy has to die off. Now, Smith didn't lose his identity and his personality. He was still Smith, you know. I remember that one time that They had sent for him. Of course, they couldn't travel as fast in those days as we do now, and they sent for him because somebody was in a dire situation about to die. He got there as fast as he could, but it was a train involved, and I don't know what all. When he got there, they said, well, you got here too late. He's already dead. Or she. I think it was a she. He's already dead. He said, now, see, here's somebody who's died to the facts. He says, no, God never sends me anywhere too late. Now, he says, where have you laid her? She was in the bed, you know. He goes up there, picks the, and Smith was a big man, picks up the corpse, stands it up against the wall, and says, live in Jesus' name. Let's go of the corpse, and it crumbles on the floor. Picks it up again. I believe the third time when he said live. Third time, came back to life. Now see, we got to be dead to the facts. God quickens the dead. God quickens the dead. We got to be that. When he says we got to eat us up, he means our old way of thinking, the eyes of our understanding that say this is possible and this is not possible. Well, from what universe, from what realm of truth are you speaking? See, we're a people born of the Spirit. We got to be trained by the Spirit. Amen. All right, so in Joshua's case now, he says, chapter 1, he's starting to give, verse 1 would be a good place to start. He says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now let's stop right there for a minute. Every place that what? The sole of your foot treads upon. We can't be, like I described this morning, sitting in the bleachers on this side of Jordan with our popcorn and our soft drink, looking over into the promised land and saying, get them, God. I'm ready to possess the land, drive out all the ites, make everything, you know, paint the houses, have everything nice, and we'll come over and we'll move in. No. Everywhere that the sole of your foot treads on. Everywhere that the sole of... You say, I'm waiting on God. Mm-hmm. A lot of times He's waiting on you. Waiting on you. Later on, when they get ready to actually do that, they got to cross a river. So God waited till the river was just a trickle during the dry season, right? No. When they get ready to cross, there's flood stage. Looks like certain death. If you just step into that river, you're going to die. See, I've talked about this so many times. Jimmy Miller and I get together. That's one of our favorite stories because, I mean, every time God asks us to do something, it looks like certain death, you know? The way He has us do our ministry and the things He's asked Jimmy to do, are you sure that's what you want us to do? It looks like if we start that, it looks like that's the end right there. And God says, yep, that's it. So Jimmy and I are going to start that Bible school, and the name over the door is going to be, God, you said what? What? Yeah, cross over the Jordan. What? It's flood stage. Put your foot in the water. What? And it wasn't until they put their foot in the water. You could have waited there and waited. Say, I'm going to wait till it looks a little better. You'd be waiting till now. See? No, he said, do it. You gotta obey God. We gotta become a people that's not moved by the facts. I gotta keep saying it that way. We gotta stop being a people that make our decisions based on facts. Truth changes facts. If you haven't ever heard that message of mine, it's not really mine, it's just the Lord delivered it through me years ago. It's a classic. It's at the website. It's called Truth Changes Facts. Facts. You need to hear that. Truth changes facts. The fact was, it was flood stage. When they obeyed truth, when they stepped out on truth and put their toe in that water, what happened? The water just backed up like there was an... looks like God just put His hand down there and the water backed up for miles and miles and miles, and they just crossed over on dry ground. Now that'll mess with your factual people. You know, but that's not possible. It is with my God. That's why we be able to take the land. See? All right? Now, to again getting to Joshua here, Moses had died. He tells him. Now, see, he had said these same kind of things, though not in these exact words, to the other group 40 years earlier. He told them, I'm going to go before you. I will fight the battles. He told them, but they chose not to believe it. Joshua believes it. So now him and Caleb are the only two out of that bunch that's going to see the promised land and possess it, see? So he's giving him instruction now. He says, now look, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he describes it here. Now verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, I don't know if you kept a marker in Ephesians 6, but over there it says, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now they were wrestling against flesh and blood. People. So he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. We're not wrestling against men. We're wrestling against devils, principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darknesses of this world. What he say to us is, as I was with Jesus, so shall I be with thee. There shall no devil be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now we better get that. We're talking about authority. Ephesians is the book where he talks about Jesus being far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, because he's seated there at the right hand of God, and we have been quickened together with him, raised together with him, seated together with him. We have dominion over every devil, I don't care what kind it is. So, well, that's not what my experience teaches. Your experience is not your teacher. See, that's the problem with religion. A big part of it is they start compromising. You know, the whole church prayed and somebody dies. Okay, the whole church prays, you know, and they prayed hard. They prayed with all the faith they have. So, but they still died. Well, you try and make sense out of that. And they go, well, it just must not be God's will to always heal. Trouble is, you can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you're not careful, your experience starts becoming your teacher and you start watering down the gospel. And that's why we, for the most part, have a powerless church. They mean well. They love God. They're on their way to heaven. But that's why we're not having revival. No. It's not God's will either. The enemy won again. Now we can cut and run, get discouraged and quit, or get mad, get in here, get our armor on, sharpen our sword, and go to war. And that's what I intend to do. As long as there's breath in me, we're going to press on. Hallelujah. All right, back to Joshua. You better keep, that's a big, thick one, but better pinch that together there. Alright. Now he says, no devil will be able to, for us, it'd be no devil will be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Jesus, says to him, as I was with Moses. But what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? As I was with Jesus. What did he say? You go forth in my name. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. We're going in his stead. We're supposed to be going in the strength of the Lord and the authority of the Lord to bring this kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, to this planet. Well, we're not going to do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. See? So as I was with Jesus, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That sounds, we've heard 1,000 messages on that, but that right there, not believing that right there, is what kept the first group out of the promised land. Because they're going, we have to fight them ourselves. No! It's in his strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I will not leave thee. I will not forsake thee. If that's the case, buddy, we win. And that means on a personal level, whatever ites are in your land, but you're going to have to put your toe in the water. You're going to have to tread on some land that's unpopular to your flesh. With some people, and I don't know why this is important, but it is for some people, with somebody's going to have to forgive something that's been long standing. You don't think it's possible. I remember, you've heard my testimony time and again, I didn't think it was possible to forgive that couple for what they did to me. I didn't even want to forgive them, but I did want to go on with God. And he says, well, you're not, this was in the very beginning. He says that you're not going to go very far with me unless you forgive them. Well, unforgiveness is about as big a ite as there is. Now, you and God is not going to walk very close together as long as you're going around full of unforgiveness and bitterness, and I don't care what they did to you. Okay? So I'm going, God, I don't want to. But I do want to go with you. He said, well, you're going to have to forgive them. Now, in my case, he trained me how to do it, and I've told that many times. He said, would you be willing to be made willing? See, I go, what? See, if I was willing to be made willing, if you could make me willing, then I guess I would be willing. Yes, I'd be willing if you could make me willing. It took me a minute to figure that one out. So he just gave me the most simple instruction, something that I could do. See, God, he knows where you are. It's one step at a time. Well, he says, well, just every time you think of them, just ask me to bless them. So I told you how I did it. I'd think of them. Now, my thoughts were not pure and holy in those days, okay? I told him in the beginning, I said, no, I don't want you to bless them. I want them to die, and I want to do the killing. He knows it anyway. You might as well be honest with him, you know. He said, well, just ask me to bless them. So, okay. So the first time it happened, I thought of them. I said, oh, man. All right, God, I'm thinking of them. I'm asking you to bless them, and you know I don't mean it. Because I knew he didn't know I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I'm just doing it out of raw, sheer obedience. I'm just doing it because he told me to do it. Well, that went on for that day. I don't know, several times that week. But see, there is nothing impossible with God. As I continued to obey that simple little instruction, he began to change my heart. And I noticed after a week or two, it wasn't very long, when I'd pray for them, I'd drop that last part. Because I got to thinking, well, I don't really want them to go to hell. You know, I really don't want them to go to hell. I mean, what they did was bad. Okay, God, I'm asking you to bless them. I mean it, kind of. You know, sort of. But over a period of time, my heart changed. And today, they're two of our closest friends. They live three blocks from me. You know, they're at my house on my birthday. We're going to their house on his birthday. I mean, you know. Now, God has the wonderful ability to forget. He says, I throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. We all of us remember every incident that happened all those years ago. But God has this way of removing all the hurt. There's no hurt anymore. It's like a movie I saw. You know, that happened, but it must have been other people because there's no pain in me. You know, there's no hurt in me anymore. He healed it all. It's wonderful. Now, see, if that's possible, and then if he can get this old guy free of nicotine after 42 years, I tell you, all things are possible. I don't care how long you've been walking with that ite in your land. To the point now you think it's just, you know, we get to where we just say, and it's true, you know, say, well, I'm just going to be his hot-tempered child and you're going to have to love me anyway. And we will. And he will. But that does not mean you can't change. See? Doesn't mean you can't. You can. Every place that you put the sole of your foot, from the day you decide to do it, if you're doing it in his strength, you will possess that land. Hallelujah. You can be free. All right, let's go on a little more. Now, here we go. See, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, we're looking back to the parallel book. Okay? That was Ephesians. We're looking back to the parallel book here. Now, look what he starts saying. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Why should you be strong? For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now, that's all they had, the written law. Okay? To us, he would say, to do everything that I command you. You have the ability to hear him by the Holy Ghost, okay? Which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from the left or the right, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, this next verse has got a lot to do with being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's giving, in the same way that he gave me that simple instruction that eventually got me free of the forgiveness, the unforgiveness, here's a instruction that he gave to Joshua all those years ago. He just got through telling him, be strong, be very courageous. Now I'm giving you a little simple instruction, Joshua, something you can do that'll help you be strong. Well, what is that? Now in his case, again, all they had was the law. This book of the law, today what would he say? My word shall not depart out of thy mouth. Everyone, touch your lips. He did not say your brain. He did not say your memory. He did not say your iPod. He did not say your CD player. He said, my word shall not depart out of your mouth. Now, if something is in your mouth, let's just take something simple. Take a bite of apple. It's either in your mouth or it's not in your mouth. Yeah, it's in your mouth or you swallowed it. Right? But it can't be in your mouth and not in your mouth. In other words, to have it in your mouth, it's got to be, duh, in your mouth. Well, the Word of God is in your mouth or it's not in your mouth. And how's it going to be in your mouth, not your memory? You got to be saying it. And I'm telling you, I have been at this a long time. I've been counseled so many people so many years. And normally when they call and want to go out for a little lunch, or they call me pastor even though I'm not one, they want to go out. Normally, when I sit down across from them for the next hour, what I hear is not the Word of God. It's everything opposite to the Word of God. It's all the ites in the land and every circumstance and how poorly they've been treated and how bad it is, but how strong they are. You know, it's usually how good they are, you know. But everything in the world but the Word of God. I don't hear the Word of God coming out of their mouth. And I gave you that one little testimony this morning. We've had a lot of battles like that, but one of them was when our three daughters were in rebellion. Now, once he gave us that passage here in Isaiah 49, boy, from that, you know, we knew God was going to contend with the devil and he was going to save our child. From that day forward, Sue and I got his word in our mouth. We finally had something to stand on. And I mean, we could have caterwauled like most people do. You know, you say, well, how are they doing? Oh, we just don't know what's going to happen. We didn't raise them like this. I know they're out there drinking and going to them old bars and clubs and hanging around with them guys. And I pray every night they don't have a car wreck. Well, you know, and I know. That's the way it usually is. Well, we set ourselves... You could ask us, and we could have easily said that and much more that we knew was going on. See, our daughter, here's what you'd hear, for however long you could stand it. Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. Our daughters are born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. They speak with new tongues. They prophesy. They have dreams and visions from God. Our daughters serve the Lord Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They hate iniquity, they love righteousness. Now, all the time that I'm saying something like that, and we did it several times, I mean, you know, people would ask, how they doing? Here we go. We start off with that. And the devil all the time telling me I'm a liar. Because what was factual at that moment, if you followed them around, you go, hey, they ain't like that at all. They're out going from bar to bar to bar and drinking and doing all this. And I'm going, well, you're talking to me about facts. I'm answering you with truth. Truth changes facts. Did it happen overnight? Oh, I wish. Took several years before all three of them. You know, like I said, I mean, there was a time when I thought God's best would just be to kill them all and start again. You know, I'm glad I didn't do that now. Like I said, they'll probably be the ones in my old age feeding me my oatmeal. You know, open up, Daddy. Open up. But I like oatmeal. Anyway. You know what? Okay. I'll be. They'll be feeding me. They'll be feeding me steak at 100. How's that? I'll go for that. All right. This, you can teach people too well. You know. Can't get away with nothing. And I love it. But see, anybody that was followed them around, we could have had the naysayers, the same kind of evil reporters, same kind of thing, and Sue and I could have been evil reporters that whole time. But boy, we decided we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And right after His exhortation to Joshua to be strong, He gave him a simple instruction. Look, boy, if you're going to get this done, one thing is going to have to happen. You're going to have my word in your mouth. The only way it's in your mouth is when you're saying it. Everyone say, say it.
Say it.
In my mouth means,
in my mouth means
say it.
Say it.
I mean, it's so simple, but and 2 days later, they ain't saying it. You got to do it on purpose. If you just go with the flow, you're going to be saying facts. You've got to say it on purpose. You know? Okay, let's go on a little bit more. This book of the law, or today he would say, my word shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate every Sunday morning and Sunday night. Every day. And how in the world do you do it at night? See, I didn't used to know. I didn't know it until we started at this church. I really didn't. How you could meditate day and night. You know, when I go to sleep, I figure like my responsibility for what I'm thinking on is kind of gone. But not really if you do your homework. And Dave was the one that taught us. He says, now look, if you will learn to assimilate the books, start in the New Testament, get all of them first. I recommend John be the first one that you do, the big John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it a minimum of 30 times. Not necessarily trying to understand every little sentence, every phrase in there. If you don't understand a word, you can look that up, but for God's sake, don't be reading the commentaries. Okay? They don't know what it means either. Just forget it. All right? Just read it. By doing that, it's just not memorization, but you are equipping your spirit for day and night meditation. Some of my... I mean, it took a long time. It took me about 2 years to assimilate the New Testament. All I mean by that is read every book 30 times. The way I did it took me about 2 years. And I did it on purpose. Trust me, that's something else that will not happen unless you do something on purpose to make it happen. And I just took I had two jars. I put 30 pinto beans in one of them. And every time I'd read that book, I'd move a bean from one jar to the other. And I'd read it again, read it until the beans are gone. I know I've done that book. Go on to the next book. Took about 2 years. But boy, once I finished that, and to this day it still continues, some of my best revelations come at night. He'll something that's in one book that I don't really understand, all of a sudden, man, something from a whole different book, another book that Paul wrote, usually, or could be any of them, but, oh, and that one unlocks this one. Oh my God. And I never would have gotten that. But what makes that possible? I have equipped my spirit for day and night meditation. Day and night. If you get it in there, you make the job of the whole... Now, I know the first century Christians didn't even have that opportunity because they didn't have any Bibles. We are so blessed. We should be walking miles beyond where they were walking. Because we have this ability to... We have the Bible in our hands to equip our spirit for day and night meditation. All right. Verse 8 again. And we're still talking about be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When He told Joshua to be strong and very courageous, the very first little instruction He gave him, well, how do I be strong? This book of the law, or you could say that my word, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Don't say anything that's not either my word directly or in line with my word. All the time. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Again, for them, all they really had was the law. You have a lot more than that. You have the Word of God. You have a Spirit born of God. And you have a personal teacher called the Holy Spirit. You can meditate on the things. You know, we did a series on doing warfare by the prophecies you've received. He told Timothy, make a good warfare by the prophecies that's been spoken unto you. That's the word of the Lord. If it's a genuine prophecy, if it's really, then that's the word of the Lord to you. But the devil is going to throw the kitchen sink and half of hell at you to stop you from ever fulfilling that. You're going to have to meditate on that too. And take that land. And there may be some instructions that come with that about putting your toe in the water, about possessing the land. And it's usually scary. Usually looks like flood tide. But if you do it, His promise is, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. We're to go in the power of His might. So if we do that, He says, then, so we'll know what to do. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, usually that's taken out of context there, and from this where they launch into you having seven different Cadillac cars. We're talking about possessing the land for the kingdom of God. I'm not against having... If you need a freight train, God will give you one. If that's part of His plan for you and His kingdom. Okay? But I do not need a different colored Cadillac car every day of the week. Okay? I do not need that stuff. I don't even want to go there. You know what happens to me when I go there. Okay? But I am telling you this. I have found this to be true from my own testimony. Whatever you need, He can afford it.
That's right.
And if you trust Him, He will get it to you. I'll never forget the time we needed a laser printer. We only had the one printer in the early days, and it was a dot matrix. Are you guys old enough to remember a dot matrix printer? They were horrible. Yeah, they made these, everything was little dots, and they made these noises, you know. And some of the older stores, you'll still hear them printing out invoices and things. But anyway, well, ours went down. I thought, well, no problem. I'll take it down to the printer shop and have them fix it. But I didn't know there was going to be a 2-week. Said, oh, leave it here with us. You can pick it up in 2 weeks. So we're down. I'm going, God, I didn't know that we needed a backup printer. I'm going to have to ask you for a backup printer. And God, would it be okay if we had a laser one this time? Now, that was early in the morning. I was there right after the shop opened. It was probably 8:30. I'm driving away from there. About 2 in the afternoon, get a knock on the door. And there's some. I didn't tell anybody about that prayer. Just a quick little thing in the car, me and God. About 2 in the afternoon, there's a knock on the door. Somebody standing there with a big thing like this. Kind of, it's pretty heavy. And he goes, God told me you needed this. I said, what is it? It's a laser printer that we just had refurbished. God says you need it. I said, I sure do. Come right on in. We'll put it right over here. I don't know why all of the prayers aren't answered that quick. I've talked to God about that and He hadn't answered me. I don't know why. I'm going, you know. I've confessed in other things that took months and months and some of them years, you know. But I'm telling you, that is not coincidence. That is not coincidence. We've had that kind of thing happen again and again and again over these years. And I don't care if we needed a freight train. Is it harder for Him to get a freight train to me than it is that laser printer? No. Be very strong. Be very courageous. Everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread. But there's something that He says do. We're going to have to get our mouth filled with His Word. And we're going to have to get our meditator equipped for day and night meditation. Otherwise, you're just liable to go off to la-la land and meditate anywhere. And not every night do I have revelation knowledge from the Lord, but I know my spirit is equipped. They're in there. I'm a walking library. You know, I don't know it in chapter and verse, but I've got them in there image by image. You know, and He can sort and digest and bring those revelations day and night. Now back to Ephesians 6. And we're going to, about 2 minutes here, we're going to finish this part tonight. Now, all of that was to do, really, with Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might?
His might.
Now, get it straight. He's not calling you to conquer yourself. I tried that for 42 years. I tried everything in the world. I told you I've everything to come along the pike. I'm just picking on smoking. We could pick on other things, but it's an easy one to see. I mean, they came along with nicotine gum. Man, I've nicotine gummed. Then they come with patches. One time I was in some meetings in South Carolina. I had a patch on each arm smoking 2 sticks of gum and pulled over for a smoke. Okay. Now, I mean, in the power of your might, you're not going to get it done. Except maybe for a little while. Dave has taught us about, you know, have you ever tried to just love somebody in human love? That'll work for a little while, you know. Remember the husband that made the breakfast for his wife and just the way she wanted it and pancakes and orange juice, and he'd take it up to her, you know, and at first it was, oh, you're so sweet. Yes, don't you love this breakfast? Yeah. Every day that happens. Every day it's sweet. After about 2 weeks, she goes, don't we have anything in this house besides pancakes? And he goes, that's it, I'm tired of doing it anyway, and you're right back to where we were before. Now see, everybody can do better for a little while. But see, he concludes that teaching with this. It's not hard to love when that's what you are. See? Well, it's not hard to overcome when he has become your overcoming. Does that make any sense to you? Once He changes you, then it's not hard to overcome. So the process, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He gives us instructions. He says, number one, learn to meditate my word day and night. Number two, keep my word in your mouth. Don't let anything contrary to it come out, no matter what. You want to be strong in the Lord and the power of my might? That's two things that you can do. So I'm going to recommend to you. I know it's not the first time. If you haven't already started assimilating, that means reading every book in the New Testament 30 times. Please start now. Make a plan of some kind where you're going to get it done. And you don't have to take 2 years. You can do it a lot quicker if you want to. But some kind of a plan. Take the number of pages and divide it by so many months or something. Figure it out. That's one way you can equip your spirit for day and night meditation. The other thing, watch your mouth. I'll tell you a good prayer. When I know that I've been in disobedience with my mouth, I'll ask the Lord, set a watch on my lips. Boy, have any of y'all ever prayed that prayer? Will He answer that prayer? Man, if you pray that, say, Lord, I'm messing up. I know I'm messing up, but I'm doing it so much I can't even catch myself. Would you help set a watch on my lips? Man, it's like all of a sudden your conscience goes into overdrive. You say something contrary to His word and He smites you in your spirit in guilt. You know, the fathers of our flesh, they smote us in the flesh. The father of our spirit, you know, just go try and sin. What'll happen? Guilt, man. I mean, you know, you're getting a whooping. you're getting a spiritual spanking, you know. You're getting smited in your spirit. He's saying, don't do that. All right? Yeah, it is too. He's the father of our spirit. Shall we not be subject to the father of spirits and live?
That's right.
See? So, if you ask Him to set a watch on my lips, boy, the next time you say something, like I did a while ago with the oatmeal, you guys jumped right on me, He'll jump right on you like that. He'll jump right on you. He'll do it. And you'll go, oh, okay. And then you need to say something that agrees with His word. Just say, well, how do I get rid of that? Plow it under and sow new seed. As quick as possible. Just start saying His word out of your mouth. You'll be amazed how your mentality will change. Your expectation will change. Your outlook and your hope will change. You'll start walking with a little more tall and your shoulders more erect, and more like the child of God that you really are. You are an overcomer. You got that? Say it with me. I am strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. I am well able to take the land. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay.